Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all made it out tonight. Hallelujah. As Reverend Greer would say, we didn't have to come looking for you. Can you bring me down just a little bit more, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited for the word tonight. You know, I've been with the Lord on and off all day long. Praise God. I did stop for a few things here and there, but for the most part, I've been either in the word or just before God. And I just so love my job. Praise God. I get to spend time with God, and it's such a blessing. Amen to me. But it's a blessing to you as well. Praise God. It's a blessing that we get to spend time with the Lord. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I get special privileges of getting in anywhere, amen. But it does bless us, praise the Lord. But we all get that privilege, amen. But being a pastor, I'll tell you, has definitely opened my eyes to the importance of it, the need for it, praise the Lord, and the excitement of it a little bit more, because God has revealed things to me about it. But I'm excited for the word tonight. I believe it's a message from heaven. Glory to God. I know it's a message from heaven, praise the Lord, because it came from Him. And I'm just not smart enough to do it on my own, praise the Lord. So good to see you here tonight. Let's get into the word, amen. Tonight's message is called On Trusting God. Praise the Lord. On Trusting God. And what we're going to be dealing with tonight, you know, the Lord really put it on my heart to minister about the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Of course, when we talk about God, you know, God is always in, you know, we know God in three forms. We know there's God the Father, God the Son, and of course, God the Holy Spirit. And each has their place. They're all one, but they're all separate. Praise the Lord. I always loved it. My grandmother explained it to me like this early on, and it just seemed to work well. But it's like water, if you can think about, which is interesting because water is we need water for life, praise the Lord. But water comes in three forms, right? It comes in a solid, it comes in a liquid, and it comes in a gas. Now, each form of water is equally as much water as the other, praise the Lord, but they're all completely different, amen? We know that there's the three forms are very different, praise the Lord, but it helps us to understand actually, in the beginning of Romans, it says that what may be known of God can be shown in His creation. Amen. And I love that because we can see God in the things. Now, we don't get all freaky deaky about it, go out and start worshiping, hugging trees, and praising the flowers and stuff like that. We can praise God for the trees, and we worship God for the flowers. Praise the Lord. But you know, you can see God in everything. You can see His abundance. You can see His goodness. You can see His love, His creativity. You can see all kinds of things. You can see His provision, praise the Lord. But but the greatest provision that God has given us is Himself, amen? Is the greatest provision that God has given us is His Holy Spirit. And when Jesus died, He died to pave the way so that Holy Spirit, so God Himself could be on the inside of each and every one of us. God is there. He is there guiding us. He's there talking to us. He wants to show us exactly where we are to go and what we're to get into. We find that we can trust God in anything, and I just love that, that I've learned that, because, I've gone through some hard times, and even in recent times, we've gone through some hard times. But in those times, the Lord always leads me back to the same thing. And He has been speaking the same thing over and over and over to me. And that's trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust me. Hallelujah. He's my Father. Praise the Lord. And God made that real to me. And if it hasn't become real to you, well, you just dig in and it will be. Amen. But God has given us Himself as the greatest provision. You know, on Sunday, I mentioned something. And I said it in a way that I don't think I've ever said it before. But it really blessed me, and it was really revelation to me. But, I was talking about how God gave us everything. And, you know, I was talking about it in context of why, you know, how many Christians will hold back from God. You know, we'll have this issue and that issue, you know. Well, why do I have to get in and pray? And why do I have to go to church? And why do I have to give into the offering? And it really became real revelation to me on Sunday when I spoke out the words that He gave us everything. Because He gave us everything first. God withheld nothing from us. And so we should withhold nothing from Him. And we need to understand that withholding only keeps us from getting into the blessing of God. Anything that we resist that comes from the word or from the pulpit, anything that God is trying to get into a congregation, as we resist those things, what we are doing is we're resisting the blessing of the Lord. And so we will forego some blessings in life. Christians, many Christians do this, will forego the blessings of God in life simply because they are resistant to things that God has given them. Amen. Now, one of the great things that we see a lot of resistance in people is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, this isn't something I'm necessarily ministering on tonight, but it's just in the flow of what I'm talking about right now. Amen. But a lot of people resist that, and they don't realize that that is the open door into all things that are God. Amen. It's a special language that He gave us to commune with Him and to be able to understand Him and for Him to get things over to us. It kind of breaks down those barriers that we can tend to have. Amen. And the thing is, it's such an easy thing to do. It's not a hard thing, but people resist it simply because it sounds weird. Or because it's not something they're used to. Amen. But that's not what God has. God has given us things sometimes that are hard, praise the Lord, on the flesh, so that we move into those things by faith. Amen. And of course, I know, you know, I think about this all the time. I mean, you can get on YouTube and hear people speaking or praying in tongues. You can hear ministers all over the place and Christians all over the place praying and speaking in tongues. You know, like probably millions of people are filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. And that just kind of tells you something, you know. It kind of tells you that, and I'm not saying to just follow people and where they go, but it tells you that it's not a rare occurrence. And most people have the same experience that you did or didn't have with it, amen. But the Holy Spirit is his number one job is to be on the inside of us. Is he is our teacher, he is our guide, amen. He downloads from heaven and uploads to us, praise the Lord. But he's already on the inside of us. Jesus has given him to us. You know, we can have him without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We still, and when you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But the prayer language, what that does is it opens a door of communication that you might not necessarily have. Praise God. Is there anybody who's been saved here for a long time? Praise the Lord. A bunch of years. Many of you may not have known that the Holy Spirit was even on the inside or wasn't aware of what he does or what his job is. You know, we use his name in prayer. Amen. Well, it'd be, you know, like when we baptize people, we'll be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But we understand, so we hear the name, but we don't always realize that it's not just, the Holy Spirit is not just a force, it's a he. Amen. He's an actual being. Amen. A spiritual being, but God's a spiritual being, and now Jesus is too. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So that's just kind of an introduction into some of the things that I don't know if we're really going that way, but it is important to understand that. We don't want to be resistant to the things God has for us. Because everything that we preach, the purpose of it, even when it's hard, the purpose of it is to help us, is to make us, to be able to be stronger, better humans, getting through life, praise the Lord. And we don't have to do it in pain and trial and all these things. We can do it through the grace of God and be blessed as we do, amen? Praise the Lord. But this came to me earlier, and I wrote it down and wanted to... All that, by the way, was not notes. That was all. That was just all inspired by the Spirit. You may say, Pastor Jeff, why do you say that to us? Well, because I want you to understand that it is a sign and wonder that I can stand before you and say anything at all. Praise the Lord. Because I didn't plan any of that. Anything that I just said, from trusting God till now, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you'll get more of it tonight. If you make all of your decisions from the standpoint of trust in God, you will not make bad decisions. Amen? If you make all your decisions from the standpoint of trusting God, you will not make bad decisions. This is important for us to understand. Trusting in God is key to everything. Trusting in God is ultimately what faith is. Trusting in God is not always an easy thing for us to do. But this is why it's so important that we understand his word, that we hear his word, that his word gets built in us, that we read his word, that we refer back to his word. You know, all the things that I preach to you are all things that I have to do myself. I don't get a free pass because I'm a pastor and I stand up and minister to God's people. I have to get into the word. Praise the Lord. In fact, I have to get into the word a lot. But see, I don't look at it as a have to. When I get into the word, it's a joy for me. Amen? Because what I've learned is that as I get into the word, God speaks to me. And how many know that that's really cool when God speaks to you? I mean, there is a coolness factor of it that's multiplied. Amen. Praise the Lord. Allah is not speaking to people. Buddha is not speaking to, but God will speak to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. There may be demons that speak to people in those religions, but it isn't God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start, we need to understand trusting God. And part of what trusting God is, one of the biggest parts of it, the reason for this message, is trusting that Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We need to trust His leading. We need to learn how to trust His leading. We need how to learn how to walk in trust with God in that. Amen. So we're going to start in some scriptures that you probably aren't very aware of. I don't know as though we've ever gone to these before, praise the Lord. John 8, 31 and 32. Praise God. Hallelujah. And really, I wasn't when, you know, as I was putting this message together, it really, these scriptures weren't really on my heart. And then God, through the series of other scriptures, God brought me back to these scriptures. And then He showed me some things, just took a deeper revelation. You remember on Sunday I said that revelation is kind of like if you have a stuffy nose. Praise the Lord. And you take out the Vicks Vapor Rub and you put it under your nose and all of a sudden you can smell. That's what revelation in the Spirit is. I know it sounds weird, but it's really such a good analogy of how God speaks to us. It's like you'll be in the Word and then all of a sudden on the inside of you, it'll be like just like that shot of Vicks Vapor Rub and your spirit is opened right up to the things of God and it's awesome. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. We know here that, we read these scriptures all the time. These aren't scriptures that are unfamiliar to us. But I saw something here today that I see it kind of a different slant than what I've seen it before. And that's what it's part of why it's here. Amen. It says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed, praise the Lord. I want to say this first. Belief brings you in. Abiding keeps you there. That's something that we need to understand. Belief brings us in. Abiding keeps us there. You know, you came into church today, praise the Lord. As you've come into church, I don't think there's anyone new here, praise the Lord. In fact, all of you have been here many times. But you've come into these doors or other doors that we've been at many, many times, praise the Lord. But you know that you only get as much as you keep coming back. If you don't keep coming back, you know that there will be things that will be preached down the road that you won't hear. Amen. There will be revelations that you won't get. We just know this, right? I mean, it's just a common thing. Amen. A lot of times, you know, my wife has a colleague that's retiring and having some, just going through the normal things in retirement. Even if you want to retire, a lot of times people have a little bit of resistance, you know, to wanting to leave, you know, because it's something that they're used to. Their lives have been built around it, you know, and that's just a common thing. I mean, it happens everywhere. But part of it is the fear of the unknown or what you won't be getting anymore. Amen. What you won't be doing anymore. But it's the same thing with the Word of God. Jesus said to those who believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. Now, this is what I saw. First of all, look at that. It says, who believed? Amen. So first we see, what do we see? The first thing about these Jews is that these weren't just Jews. These were Jews that believed in Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And so the belief is there. And many of us have received salvation. All of us here actually have received salvation. Amen. And so when you came in for the first time and you received salvation or when you received it wherever you got it, praise the Lord, you believed on God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things that were given to us at salvation, wasn't there? There was a lot of excitement sometimes when we got saved for the first time. Many of us can remember that time when we received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and like something stirred on the inside of us, amen, to do that. Most of us didn't just do it lightly, praise the Lord. But you know, since then, there's been things that have happened, hasn't there? There's times where you don't feel very saved, isn't there? Isn't there times where you don't feel like you even believe sometimes? It's like, what do I even believe, amen? But see, what we're pointing out here is something that's really important. There is a difference between abiding and believing. Believing was a step that got him in, amen? Yeah. But it goes on to say, I got this even circled. I circled it today and highlighted it. He said to those who believed, I'm talking to people who believe. Yeah. Because you all believe today. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You, up until this moment, you have maybe even been abiding. But abiding is not something that we stop doing. And we're going to look at that word abide here in a minute, but abiding is something that is a continual process. If you stop abiding in your home, you don't go there anymore. Praise the Lord. We had a house in Jamestown. Praise the Lord. That's where we met the Gitchards. Praise God for the Gitchards. Amen. And praise God for Price Street and having the house there. Amen. But we don't own that house anymore. Probably the new owner would be quite surprised if she came home from work and saw us sitting in the living room eating her potato chips. You know what I mean? I don't know if she eats potato chips or not, but you know what I'm saying. We don't abide there anymore. We've moved on. Amen. Well, that's the same thing with what Jesus is saying here. He says, if. That word if is a big word. Big if. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Praise the Lord. I actually kind of cut out some middle parts of these two scriptures and put two things together. It's what he's saying in context, so it's not wrong to do that. But it makes us understand it even just a little bit better. And I stopped at abide, and I went down to, in this next scripture, to you shall know. If you abide, you shall know, and you shall be free. If you abide, listen to what he's saying. If you abide, then you will know. It's not from believing that you know, it's from abiding that you know. Belief brought you in, belief takes you through. Belief takes you on. How did I say it here? Praise the Lord. Belief brings you in, abiding keeps you there. How do we maintain the faith? How do we stay in that trust in God? Because when you received Jesus, you trusted God, didn't you? You were trusting on him for your salvation, weren't you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So how do you trust? How do you continue to trust? Well, it's the same way, folks, that you came in. You got to continue, you have to abide, amen? Now that word abide, praise the Lord, we talk about it all the time. That word abide, it actually is a full word, amen. It means to dwell. Of course, we talk about that all the time. We use the in the context of living, amen, because that's a basic way of saying it to everybody real quick. It means to dwell. It means to continue, to tarry, to endure, remain, to continue to be present, to be held or kept continually. I love that, to be held or kept continually. Notice what we see here, it's a continual process, isn't it? It's not just something we do once. It's not that we just receive Jesus and take that and that's our life now. But for so many, that's exactly what it is. I've had people who have sat in this church and received Jesus, raised their hands to receive Jesus, and have never stepped foot back in the church again. Why is it? They haven't continued. They haven't continued in what God is doing in them. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We need to understand that our faith walk, our life with God, is a continual process, and there is a big if at the beginning of it. That if is not up to God. That if is solely up to us. What did Jesus say sets us free? It's knowing the truth. And when does the truth come? It comes when you abide. It doesn't come because you were a Christian once. It doesn't come because you went to school or seminary. It doesn't come because you studied the word for years on end. You know, I've met so many Christians like that that have kind of walked away. I've met pastors. I there was one pastor I talked to at a coffee shop one day, former pastor. And he got into some sin or something like that. I wasn't judging him, but he had gotten into some sin and he was no longer pastoring. And he wasn't living even as a Christian. I mean, he still had a belief, but he wasn't even living as a Christian. It was sad. It was real sad to see that happening. Like how can this man go from preaching the gospel and preaching the word? It's because he didn't abide. Praise the Lord. It's no different for you than it is for me. The only reason I keep going is because I keep abiding. Yeah. Today I was talking with a friend of mine. We were talking about a certain individual that's dealing with a lot of, it's a form of addiction that he's dealing with, this individual is dealing with. And we were talking about it. And we were talking about how this person keeps saying, you know, I just don't feel like any different. You know, coming to the word and going to the church, I just don't feel any different. And see, the Bible says we're not even supposed to focus on feeling. In fact, Galatians 5:24 tells us that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Crucifying the flesh is not an act of God pouring out ease on us. crucifying the flesh is something that isn't comfortable. It's something that and this is how we get through. We understand that through Jesus we can do it, but we still have to step out to do that. Praise the Lord. I've known people, myself included, when I quit smoking, I had to crucify the flesh to do so, and it was hell doing it. But I did it, and I got through it, praise the Lord. Do you know I'll still have dreams sometimes, nightmares actually, where I've started up smoking again? I do. I'll have nightmares, and I'll be like, how did I get back to doing this? And it makes me just ill, you know. Of course, the devil just trying to rob from me. You know, I won't do that. But my point is that, you know, we have to crucify the flesh. We have to decide. There is an aspect of the faith walk that will make it, that we will have to crucify the flesh. And the amount that we have to crucify the flesh depends on the amount that we lived in the sin. Right. Amen? This is what so many people, I told my children, I tell my kids. Why do I tell my kids to stay away from premarital sex? Because you all know as well as I do, but once you dabble in it, it ain't easy to stop, is it? Once you've dabbled in it, oh, it's easy to open that door again. But the same thing is with drinking, the same thing is with drugs, same thing is with anything that we can be addicted to. Once you open the door, and depending on how far you went, is the measure of how much you're going to crucify the flesh. This is why so many people fail at not continuing on, not because God's ability is there, and he will help you, but you still have to crucify the flesh. This is why addictions don't get conquered so often. It's because people aren't taught about crucifying the flesh. They're taught to appease the flesh. But we understand that if you abide, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Praise the Lord. It's not a magic key. It's not a magic button. Praise the Lord. Make you free. You know, I had this written down about that. Temptation is persistent, so our abiding also needs to be. I don't know if anyone's been tempted today. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're human, if you have flesh, if you're breathing, praise the Lord, I guarantee you've been tempted at some point today on something. I know I have. Praise the Lord. I've spent the day in and out of every single day, and temptation comes. Amen. It's persistent, isn't it? So if temptation is persistent, then the prescription, the remedy for temptation must also be persistent. And that's abiding in the Word. That's continuing in the Word. That's not letting go of the Word. That's just staying with it and running with it and keep coming back to it, praise the Lord. What do we do when we're in trial? We go back to the Word. What do we do when we don't feel well? We go back to the Word. What do we do when it's not working out? We go back to the Word. When you come in counsel with me, what do? I take you back to the Word. It's always the Word. The Word is always the answer. It always will be the answer. It is the only answer. God is not going to come down waving a magic fairy wand and just take all your troubles away. It will not happen. Don't expect it to. But he has put something on the inside of you. And guess what? Part of what the Holy Spirit does, the Bible tells us that he reminds us of the things that Jesus said, which is the Word of God. If he can't remind you of the Word if you don't know the Word. If you don't ever get in the Word, if you don't ever hear the Word, how is the Holy Spirit going to bring those things back to your memory? He can't. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is why we run on people who twist Scripture, people who take Scripture out of context. This is why we kind of run on it in this church, because here's the thing. If what you know of the Word is twisted, then what you're going to believe is twisted, and then your help is also going to be twisted. Praise the Lord. This is why we have to address things that are wrong and right in the church, because if we don't, if you start believing it, and there's a lot of people that believe a lot of things about God that just aren't true, and believing those things, and that's another one of those things that I was talking about before, people will be resistant to hearing a new thing, because, well, I've always been taught this. I always believed this. I was raised Catholic. I was raised Baptist. I was raised in this denomination, and my grandmother always taught me this, and so this is what I always believed. And don't you know? All I know is it's not the Word. And if it's not the Word, it isn't helping you. It's hurting you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we have to be real about it. We have to be strong about it. Amen? Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Praise the Lord. What I'm focusing here is weary and discouraged in our souls. Our souls we know is our mind. God says to consider Jesus and what he went through, what he endured from people, so you don't become weary and discouraged. God is trying to keep us from being weary and discouraged. Galatians 6:9 says, And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's another if there, isn't there? In due season we shall reap, we will, as a matter of a fact, if we do not lose heart. So many people give up just before the breakthrough. So many people give up right before that season comes. Amen? It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. What's doing good? Following the word. Doing what God says. Seeking after him. Praise the Lord. All these things. This is what trusting God. That's what really trusting God is. Actually, this is where God, in that season, is where God finds out, do you really trust me or not?
Right.
Why? Because if you can sit there and something that you desire so greatly or need so greatly, and you can sit there and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust God. It doesn't matter what the world looks. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter, you know, if you were a farmer and it was just bad weather for 10 years straight. But you're trusting God. Praise the Lord. God will let you go through things like that to test you, to see if you actually trust him. It's easy to say, I trust God when everything's good. It's easy to praise and shout and dance and run. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's easy to do that when everything's fine. Glory to God. Somebody came in today. If somebody came in today and said, Pastor Jeff, I'm writing you a check for $1 million. Pay off both of those buildings. Take a tip for yourself. Praise the Lord. And put the rest in missions or something. Glory to God. I wouldn't have any hard time shouting, jumping, dancing, running. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you probably would do it with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, God isn't, that doesn't take any faith to do that. It doesn't take any faith to get a large sum and to just go run with it. Amen. What takes faith is to come week in and week out and continue to press through and to see what God has for you. Amen. Trusting God. That's where trusting God is found. And this is what Christians don't want to trust God. They're like, they'll start going through something. They'll say, but I just want the answer, Pastor. I just want the help now. I just want it to be over. I just want this thing. I want to be out of the season and into the season where I'm blessed. Well, yeah. We all do. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If our birthday was every day, it wouldn't mean nothing, would it? If Christmas was every day, it wouldn't mean nothing, would it? But man, when you know it's coming, glory to God. When you, and maybe you don't care about birthdays. I do. I do. Praise the Lord. So we just get excited about it. Amen. And you know really what it is? It's manufactured excitement. I don't really care. I mean, I would be bummed, you know, if nobody even cared. You know, we all would. Praise the Lord. But it's manufactured. I get excited about things because I stir myself in those directions. But just as I stir myself in those directions, we can stir ourselves in excitement for God when we start getting into the Word. When we start reading, like, I'm going to get to a scripture here in a minute, and it talks about the Lord talking to us. And I don't know about you, but, man, when I know that God's speaking to me, I'll give you an example today. I get my hair cut today. Praise the Lord. I was getting my hair cut, and this person that I've been going for a few weeks, but somebody from my past, and I was going there, and I just saw something by the Spirit, I guess I could say. It's the easiest way to say it. But anyway, I was just drawn to this person, okay? And leaving there, the Lord just inspired me to pray for her. And so that's exactly what I did. I was praying for her. And, you know, I was sensing that God, there was something that she needed to know from the Lord that she wasn't getting. Amen? And so as I was praying about this, I love opportunities like this because God will use opportunities in our everyday life if you look for them, if you're willing. And so as I left there and I was driving, I was praying and I started, a scripture came to me. And actually I said to the Lord, I was like, Lord, there's something you want to say to her. I wanted to know what it was. And he gave me a scripture, praise the Lord. And you know, I don't know this person there in my family, but I don't know this person very well, in the sense that we've kind of lost contact over the years. But getting to know her, amen. But I don't. What I'm saying is, I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't know the kinds of things she's dealing with. I don't if she's dealing with it. Just sense, you know. But at any rate, I sent this scripture, and really, I kind of had to put a little bit of a, you know, a softening, like kind of apology as I got into it. Like, you know, I don't even fully know what she believes, you know. And so I was like, I just put it out there, you know, and I just said, listen, this is on my heart. I believe the Lord was saying this, and the response I got. Let me know that it was exactly what she needed to hear. Amen. To make a long story short, but why do I share that? Because God cares for us. Actually, the scripture that He had me give is where He says, "I care for you watchfully, and I care for you affectionately." Amen. Cast all your cares on Him. Was that Philippians 4 something in there, you know, but He cares for you. Cast all your cares for it. It's the Amplified version, and but that just kept. I care for her watchfully and affectionately. That's what was rolling over in my spirit. And so I sent that with a focus and, of course, a help. But see, God will speak to us. He wants to guide us. But see, I wouldn't know that if I wasn't acquainted with the Holy Spirit at all. If I didn't spend any time with God, I'd never hear these things. Amen? Now, I can go out. I can watch movies. I could fill up on TV and all this stuff and just never be with God, never spend any time with God. But I'm going to tell you, that stuff won't bless us. You know, the greatest thing I've been finding when I've been searching for God, when I've been really endeavoring to get in, is just peace. Just like a sense of peace where I just go through my day and it's just like, man, it feels like flowery beds of ease sometimes. Praise the Lord. It's good. Hallelujah. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Turn with me to Lamentations. You're all going to be like, where's Lamentations? Because I know because I was doing the same thing earlier. Like, where the heck is Lamentations? Praise the Lord. Well, it's right after Jeremiah, right before Ezekiel. Back there where your pages are still crispy. Hallelujah. But there's good stuff. We want to get into the Word. Amen. Good stuff in the Word. Praise the Lord. Let's see here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lamentations, chapter 3. And we're going to verses 22 through 26. Praise God, hallelujah. We sing a song that sounds kind of like this, don't we? Hallelujah. Actually, it was written by just reading these scriptures, right? You wrote it. It was inspired by these scriptures. Love it. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Praise God. Every morning that you wake up is another chance. Is another mercy. There's God's mercies are new every morning. So this is the thing, man. My wife was talking about liking me gone. Praise the Lord. That's what I heard anyway. She said, I like it when he's gone. I'm like, you better continue with that. I'm in there. I'm about to come out the office. I'm like, wait, what do you mean you like it when I'm gone? Like it when I'm gone, and she can go to see. This is why you got to read the whole scripture. Praise the Lord. You got to read it in context. I like it when he's gone, and I can go to bed at 7:30. Amen. Well, you know, sometimes you're having a bad day. Just go to bed early. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. You know, there's times where you've just been like, have you ever been like that? Man, this is just, I had enough of this day. Go to bed. Why is this important? I'm actually going to tell you something. This is actually, I know it's funny, but it's actually good spiritual advice. Well, this is why I take a nap sometimes when I'm stressed out. Why? Not because I want to take a nap. Because God's answers are always found in peace. God deals in peace. You know, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, or is. How do we say that? It's in peace. Sown in peace by those who make peace. Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's sown in peace. Peace is where God abides. That's where we find God. God will always be found in that place of peace. And so if we're living in an area of life that's not peace, we need to find ourselves. That's what our job has got to be, is like, how do I get to peace? Yeah. Praise God. See, people are seeking peace, but it's sown in peace by those who make peace. You see what I'm saying? It's sown in peace by those who make peace. Yeah. In other words, if you want peace, you got to make peace. And you got to do the things that cause peace. You can't have peace in your life if it's chaos. You can't have, listen, I know, my wife called me earlier. I was at lunch with that friend of mine I was telling you about, praise the Lord, Pastor Scott. He just happened to be in the area, and I happened to be when we were at lunch. We went to Wegmans. My wife called me, and I knew it sounded like we were in the middle of a construction zone or something because there was just noise everywhere. She's like, in fact, she said, where are you at? Because she knew I was somewhere, amen? I wasn't at home. Why? Because it wasn't peace. And see, that's exactly what, sometimes our lives are like that. It's this noise and that noise and this thing going on, and everybody's running around. Sometimes work is like that. You ever seen the Wall Street, the videos of Wall Street, and there's all those noises and dings, and I don't know how they can do that. Praise God, hallelujah for them, but I can't do it, amen? Yeah. And really, I don't think we're called to do that. We're not called to live that way. But, you know, we are going to find peace if we make peace. If we determine that we're going to be in peace, that we're going to remove ourselves from situations that aren't peace, we will find ourselves having more of God's peace. Amen? Because, why? Because God can speak to us there. God isn't going to speak to you if you're driving down the street. See, God speaks to me in the car all the time. But generally, when I'm in the car, especially by myself, there is nothing. There's no noise. I don't even have the radio on. Almost every single time. Sometimes we'll put on some, you know, if we're all together, you know, or something like that, because, you know, generally, you know, that's just more of a, you know, just kind of a, just a, lighthearted thing. But when I'm by myself, almost always, I have it completely silent. Why? Because I love that God speaks to me in those times. I love music. I love being able to put something on the radio or whatever, but I love hearing him speak more. And so most of the time, that's how I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. God speaks to us in that place of peace. Praise the Lord. And so when we rest, when we find that, like all this because I'm talking about going to bed early. Amen. But when we force ourselves into that rest, we force ourselves into a place of peace. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's continue on. Glory to God. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love that. Praise the Lord. 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Yeah. Now, that word portion is interesting, too. It means allotment, inheritance, share, or possession. The Lord is my portion. This is such an enormous statement. I can't even explain it to you, hardly. I'm going to try here. But the Lord is my portion. He is my allotment. He's my share. He is my possession. See, a lot of people are out there running around chasing all kinds of things. They're chasing money. They're chasing this. They're chasing that. This says the Lord is my portion. He's the only possession we need to be chasing. He's the only allotment. If you are chasing anything other than God, listen to me. You having a hard time paying your bills? Looking for a way to pay your bills, right? Seeking out how can I make more money? You're chasing the wrong thing. You're chasing money. You're not chasing God. He's your portion. Your paycheck isn't your portion. Your job isn't your portion. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, this is us. You know, I can I share a situation with you? Just a little. I don't want to go into too much detail because I only heard part of it. Praise the Lord. But there was something on your heart for work, wasn't there? And you just got a job today, right? But it's been on your heart for years, right? The specific, it was very specific, wasn't it? Yeah. And you were even told at different times that that's kind of really hard, weren't you? It probably won't happen, right? And didn't I hear that they kind of made it for you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. That's right. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is her portion. Hallelujah. See, there's something on her heart because she's a faithful prayer. Hallelujah. It took 2 years. Praise the Lord. Three years. Took 3 years for it to happen. You better be getting rich off it. No, I'm just kidding. But God, but have you guys sank? Has your ship sank?
No.
Has your battleship gone? No, you guys haven't gone down yet. But God put something on her heart, and she stayed faithful to it. She stayed true to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is God doing? He's just proving his word right there. See, if you don't faint, if you don't lose heart, you continue on, you trust God, guess what happens? The payout always comes. Now, when I say the payout, I don't necessarily mean just like, cha-ching, here's some more money, you know what I mean? But I mean, it does include that. But But see, so many people are just chasing, they're just chasing the stuff, the things that don't matter. They're chasing, some people are chasing a spouse. Praise God. You don't chase spouses. You chase God. He's your portion. What that means is to say that he is your possession, he's your portion, is that and all things are his. It means that all things are wrapped up in him. And so if you're full of God, you can't go without whatever it is. Because the Bible tells us that he gives us the desires of our heart. They are there. And so if we're chasing all these other things, we aren't going to get what God has for us. He'll be sitting there waiting for you. Just wait. God will seriously wait for people. He'll just be sitting there waiting. I'll just wait. When you finally get it, you can get it. Hallelujah. But I'll wait. Some people, it takes decades. Now, this wasn't a case of Chris waiting because she wasn't getting it. She was after it in faith. In fact, any time I've ever talked to her about it over the past few years, she said, this is what's on my heart. And it hasn't changed. So be it. I mean, I didn't necessarily think that it was going to happen naturally. What I mean by that is that, yeah, I understand. It was a tough situation because of the certain hours that she needed and everything like that. Praise the Lord. But God takes care of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is our portion. He's our allotment, our inheritance. Chase the right things. Don't be after things that are fruitless. Amen. This is what it means to set your mind on things above and not things of the earth. Because when you set your mind on him, the things of the earth just work out. They don't always work out exactly when we think they should, but they work out. And all that matters is knowing that we won't sink in the process. We'll stay afloat. We'll keep going. Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus not care when he was in the back of the boat? Why was he sleeping when the boat was literally sinking? The Bible tells us that. It was literally sinking. Why was it? Because his mind was on things above. Like even he was even convinced. I'm sure that he was convinced that if the boat sank, he'd keep floating across the lake. Praise the Lord. He was going to the other side in his mind, in his faith. This is where Christians fail. When the rubber meets the road, when the time comes to put your money where your mouth is, what do you believe? Do you trust God or do you trust the natural circumstances? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Praise the Lord. Has he been good to you, Chris? Hallelujah. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. You notice we see a lot about waiting and patience and stuff like perseverance, stuff like there's a lot about that in Scripture. Guess why? Because that's what God requires. Well, I don't like that. Doesn't matter. If you want blessed, this is what you're going to have to do, folks. You're going to have to wait sometimes. Oh, my gosh, I'm telling you what. I have vision like you can't believe. You just asked my wife about my vision. I can see things built. I can see things made. I can see way far ahead of where I can do. Amen? But what do I got to do? Got to wait for it to come to pass. And I'm fine with that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. He's our portion. So your mind better be seeking him. What happens when your mind's not seeking him? You redirect your mind because you decide, right? The if is in your hands. Praise the Lord. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I put this in my circle, that wait quietly, and I put in peace. Because that's where God wants us to be. That's what it means to wait quietly, in peace. Sit there and relax. Just be like, listen, God has got this. He's going to take care of it. We're going to do, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're excited. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I certainly am. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 16. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16. I am so glad that it happened just today because that just makes it even better. Amen. Because I had no natural knowledge that it happened today. Just the Lord put that in my heart. I had some natural knowledge because I heard through the grapevine that something was happening. And that's really, I mean, Chris and I even haven't even had a chance to talk about it, right? And God just put it on my heart and yeah, it happened today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But you know it's going to take her out of church on Sundays and Tuesdays now. And now, just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16. We're reading the whole stinking psalm. Glory to God. I started with just a portion, but I got into it. I was like, man, this is good. We're going to do the whole thing. Hallelujah. Can we do it? We got perseverance. Praise the Lord. We can do it. Yes, we can. Bob the Builder. Praise the Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. God has been leading me so much to the 37th Psalm, verses 3, 4, and 5, but it starts off, trust God and do good. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is another one that God's always bringing me to. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Praise. You see the theme yet? Praise God. Trust God. Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I put my trust. My trust. You know, listen, David wasn't, his trust wasn't in all, it wasn't in the kingdom, it wasn't in the finances, it wasn't in the people, it was in God. Amen? O my soul, you have said to, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I can find it. Hold out just there for a second. Give me just maybe 2 seconds. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was just in this the other day. And I'm in Kings, maybe. I was talking about King David. Yeah, but it was in, I believe it was 1 Samuel, where it says he was a man after God's own heart. You look it up for me. You look it up and I'll keep reading here. Praise the Lord. So we just don't stall night. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, that you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth. Oh, that's real good right there for all those who think saints are only people that died and gone on and we pray to. Amen. As for the saints who are on the earth. Who are on the earth. Did you find it?
Yeah.
13, yeah. 1 Samuel. Let's hold out right there real quick. Because this is David. And we know, what do we know about David? David did some things that weren't good.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So that's, and that takes me on that journey. So when we were, the other day, I had in my heart to start studying in Matthew, just to start studying the book of Matthew. And if you know anything about the book of Matthew, It starts off and it's just a bunch of genealogy, and it shows the lineage of the succession, the lineage of people to Jesus. Amen. And a lot of times when you read those things, it's like what it is so and so had so and so, so and so, or begot or made or whatever, so and so made so and so, and it goes down the list, and it's like scripture after scripture after scripture of all this, right? And sometimes it can be boring, and a lot of times I'm tempted to just skip over that stuff. And the other day as I started off, I was like, that's not a good way to start off reading the word. So I said to the Lord, I was like, Lord, this is your word, and so there's something spiritual. I literally said this to him. There's something spiritual in this. So I said, show it to me. Tell me what's spiritual in this. And so I was reading just a few scriptures, and sure enough, there it was. Poof. Just in the lineage. But he said one thing. He was talking about David. And it uses the example, in Matthew, it uses the example of, because David had a son named Solomon. Solomon went on to build the temple, and he was also in the direct lineage of Jesus, praise the Lord. But Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. Bathsheba, in case you didn't know, was the wife of somebody else. Actually, it was a commander or something like that in David's army. And what David did in his infinite wisdom is the guy's name was Uriah. David sent Uriah to the front line so he could get killed so David could go sleep with his wife. That sounds, I haven't done anything that bad yet. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some heavy stuff. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean, I'm not going to do that at all. Praise the Lord. But when I say yet, I mean, I haven't done anything that bad up until now. So even all the things I've done, amen. So at any rate, it went off in me. Because what do we know about David? The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Twice. I mean, it's pretty intense, right? And so I did some study. I was doing some studying. It led me to here in 1 Samuel 13. 13, verse 14, yep. It says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. He's talking to Saul, King Saul. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you. See, this is why David was used, was because he would do what God commanded him to do. Though he wasn't perfect, though he made mistakes, though he didn't come up to the mark many times in his life, but he was so hungry for God, he was so after God, that God overlooked some of these things. Now, we know that there was results of David's sin that he had to deal with on the earth. There always is. If you sin, if you do something in sin, I'm just telling you, there are going to be consequences. God can't always stop those consequences, and sometimes he'll let you deal with those consequences. But what I'm saying is even if we make a mistake, God still will use us. He will still use us for great things. Amen. And now here, we're back here with this, that side journey. But man, I just thought it was important. Amen. Psalm 16. Praise the Lord. We're back here. We see David talking about God and trusting in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Remember, running after another God is not just worshiping some other God in the sense of some other figure, but it could be, you know, some people make their spouse or their children their God. Some people make a job their God or sports their God or something like that. I've seen people out there that are so sports-minded, like, you know, like they're playing this sport, playing that sport. They just can't ever let it go. You know what I mean? It's like every part of their life. Like every conversation you get in, it's going to be about football. Every conversation you get in, it's going to be about, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with liking the stuff or doing things. But when everything in your life is about that, then that becomes your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or whatever it is. It doesn't have to. Sometimes it's a hobby. We've seen that with people in different kinds of hobbies. Sometimes it's in, you know, their house or whatever. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's just in your job. We have to have that place of peace. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Notice what it says there. Your sorrows will be multiplied who hasten after another God. Something else you worship. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. God does. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I love that scripture. Hallelujah. Yes, I have a good, knowing that I have a good inheritance, that the things always, you know what the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places means you get favor. That favor just follows you. I like that. I like having the favor of God. When I go to, I told you about my suit, but I just love stuff like that. Praise the Lord. I love going to the store and getting favor on something that nobody else got. I love going down the street and having somebody give me favor. Here, you go on and go first. You go ahead and go through first. Praise the Lord. Why? Well, just because, I don't know. Praise the Lord. That's the favor of God. Just live in life in favor. It's good. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Isn't that interesting? My heart instructs me in the night seasons. That's why it's important how we go to bed, isn't it? I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, when you make God your right hand, when you put God at your right hand, you say, I'm going to put him before me. That place of right hand, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it's a high place. Like it was a highly exalted place. That's why Jesus was seated at the right hand of God. Amen. It means something like in a high place. That you put him on a pedestal. You put him in that place of leading in your life. Glory to God. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That's a prophecy of Jesus, by the way. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Notice it says, the fullness of joy. Where is that? In his presence. All those things you seek after, there's no fullness in them. You know it as well as I do. You know that you've gotten there. Have you ever looked forward to a vacation so much and you got there and it just was like, ugh. I wasted my vacation on this. See, vacations are good. Take vacations. Have vacations. They're wonderful. Praise the Lord. I am an advocate of vacations. But I'm just telling you right now that if your joy is in those, they will fail you. My joy is in the Lord, and so I could be on vacation all the time. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God, He loves us so much, and these are the things He has for us. Amen. Okay, so you're there. Now turn back to John. Let's go to John 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 14, 15. Now we're going to see some connection here. Or at least I hope you do. I believe you will. In faith. John 14, 15. We're going to read through 18. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Do what he says to do. This is why we preach God's commandments. This is why we preach. We don't preach them to tear people down or to upset people. We preach them because you're going to see this. And he goes, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth. Everybody say, the Spirit of truth. Do you know what the Spirit of truth is? He's the one who, this is all he knows is truth. So whatever the Holy Spirit tells you is truth. Whatever the Holy Spirit will lead you to, that's truth. Whatever the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit will lead you into things and away from things sometimes, and it will make your flesh cringe, but it's truth. Yeah. That's where the goodness is. That's where the fullness of God is. Amen? Whom the world cannot receive. Okay, it says the world cannot receive this, and I'm going to take this further. Those Christians that live like the world also cannot receive him. And when I say receive him, yeah, if you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit will be on the inside of you. But we understand that receiving the Bible means a little bit different than what receive the way we normally think about it. But if you receive something, it means that you take it upon yourself. If a person who lives in the world, a Christian that lives in the world, you don't even live in, we all have to live in the world. But we're not of the world. We don't live like the world lives. We don't make the same decisions. Praise the Lord. I was listening to Jesse Duplantis, and he was talking about... I just love listening to him sometimes, but he was talking about, praise the Lord, he was talking about being on this one Christian show, and they were arguing, or they were talking back and forth, is it okay to drink alcohol, you know? And, of course, I always say no, because it's, first of all, it's stupid, praise the Lord, there's nothing good that ever comes out of it, praise the Lord, and any alcoholic reformed alcoholic, will tell you it's stupid. Praise the Lord. Any amount of it is dumb. But at any rate, they were talking back, and they finally got to him, and he was just trying to stay out of it, you know. And they finally got to him and said, well, what do you think about it, Jesse? And he says, I don't search the Scripture. Praise the Lord. I don't search the Scripture to try to find provision for my flesh. I don't go looking through the Scripture to try to justify sin. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Why? Because you tell me what good comes out. You know what it is? That's exactly what it is. When you hear people arguing about, Christians arguing about tithe, they're looking for provision for their flesh. Because I don't want to have to give, so I got to go look for a reason why I don't do it. I don't want to have to give back to God. So I'm going to go looking for a reason not to do it. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go to church all the time. I'm going to go back and look for a reason why I don't have to, or look for justification in it. I don't want to forgive people. So I'm going to go try to find a reason. Well, you know what we say? Well, you don't have to forget, right? Yeah. No, that's not what the Scripture says. God says when God forgave you, he cast your sins as far as east is from the west. So why are you holding something and saying, well, now listen, that doesn't mean that you just invite them back in and do the same thing over again. You know, somebody's abused you or something like that, but you do have to forgive. Why? Because the Bible says that God forgave you, you must forgive or he won't forgive you. Praise the Lord. Just, you know, but people try to look for provision. People are always looking for the easy road out. They're always looking for praise the Lord, you know. Well, that church, I just don't, they preach so bold. They just tell me things I don't like to hear. Well, praise the Lord. You go to the doctor. You ever had a bad report from the doctor? Do you stop going to that doctor because he told you were sick? No, you don't like to hear that you were sick, but you sure, certainly went back because you knew he knew what he was talking about. So why with spiritual things do we throw it aside like it don't matter? Praise the Lord. It's because people are carnal. Amen? They don't receive God because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look what Jesus said here. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. God hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. But we have to understand it isn't in the manifestation of the thing that we're believing for. You know what I mean? Like it isn't in, okay, I was believing for $100. I got $100, so God came to me. No. He's my portion. Him bearing witness on the inside of me that I will be able to sustain. He will sustain me and I will live and I will make it through no matter what trial it is because he sustains me and I do my best to follow him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I will get to the other side. That's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. What it does is it holds us. It keeps us in faith until that thing does manifest. Until it, you know, the word manifest really just means it until it comes into being. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Before service, I was back there. I hadn't manifested yet. I came out here and now I'm manifested. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn to Hebrews 13:5. Praise the Lord. I hope you're getting something here tonight. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I love the Lord. I didn't know all this was going to come out. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:5. We'll read all the way down through verse 6. Praise the Lord. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. What's covetousness? Praise the Lord. That's when you're after. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just focus on the I'm enunciating. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Emphasis on the wrong syllable. Yeah. Let your contact be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Praise the Lord. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's important. Being covetous is this. Okay, listen, we can desire stuff. God has given us the ability and the desire to desire stuff. It's good. You can desire things. You can desire a spouse. You can desire another human. You can desire a baby. You can desire a new car. You can desire a house. All these things are great and wonderful. God doesn't mind that you desire those things. But what covetous is, being covetous, is when you're after it, like it's like your goal in life. Like you're not going to be happy until you get there.
Right.
That's when you enter the realm of coveting. And of course, we know that that's one of the praise the Lord, one of the Ten Commandments, do not covet. But what people do here is people often, actually, this happens more times in poverty than it does in wealth. And the reason is because people get so fixated on what they don't have that that's what they focus on. Whenever you're lacking anything, really, and it could be poverty of anything, it's not just finances, but whenever you're lacking anything, you are prone to get covetous. You know, that's all humans. It's not just you, praise the Lord. It's all of us. But what we have to do is we have to put it before the Lord. It says, be content with such things as you have. Now, a lot of people will twist this and they'll be like, well, see, God doesn't want you to have a whole lot. Be content with what you got, your lot in life. That's not what that's saying either. It's saying, put your portion in God. Make your portion Him. When you don't have to have these things, when you only require God, this is what I'm working on, just in case you didn't know. This is my me project right now. Amen. This is what God has been doing in me, and this is what I've been doing in me. It's just getting myself to the place where I need nothing but God. I like things. I was just saying to my wife today as she come in, I was just in my back room where I like to study and stuff, and I looked over and I saw some of my little knickknacks, paddywhacks over there, you know. Praise the Lord. And I looked over and I said, I like stuff, you know that? She's like, yeah, I know. Praise God. When I go, I like to get little souvenir, different things, you know, things that bend, things that remind me of places. And praise the Lord, and different things like that. And they're cool knickknacks. I mean, they're not like just the, you know, I'm not talking like grandma's knickknack shelf. You know what I mean? I mean, these things are cool. This is stuff. These are collector stuff. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. It's not worth anything, but it's collector stuff. Amen. And I'm the collector. Hallelujah. But like, I don't need any of it. Amen. It's not something that has me. If I don't have it, well, I don't throw that big of a fit. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I do a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we can covet things. You're getting me in trouble. That woman you gave me. She's getting me in trouble. But I don't, you know, if life goes without those things, we can still exist. I can still serve God. Amen. Because I did without a lot of knickknacks. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one thing I do now, as I'm more able, I'm just going to be honest with you. As I'm more able, I make sure I have some of them. Why? Because it blesses me. And it blesses God that I can. I wasn't always there where I could. There was times when I couldn't even afford milk for the kids or whatever, you know, whatever we were feeding them. Praise the Lord, I couldn't even afford that. But but as God progresses us, as He takes us through, we will grow to that place where we can have more and more. Amen. Because it doesn't have you. God's not opposed to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's so often, my wife will attest to this, there's been so many times, and I'll share this to help you, but there's been so many times in my life where God will bless me with something that I've been believing for, and I within a short time period afterwards, I turn around and give it away. And my wife has actually joked before. She said that when I've gotten something new, she said, you know, she's like, how long do you think you'll be able to keep that? She said that to me because I like to, too. I mean, it's a joy of mine. I was desiring, I desired a ring. And my mom actually, she gave me a ring that was kind of like she had inherited kind of and whatever passed down. And I was really excited to get it. You know, I'd been wanting it, praise the Lord. And I got it fitted and everything. And there was this minister that we're connected to. And it was pure. He wasn't trying to get anything out of me. But I noticed every time he really, really liked that ring. Like it really blessed him. And he would say, man, that's a really nice ring, you know. And you know when somebody's trying to get something out of you, you know what I mean? But it wasn't that. And so like I knew one night, I was like, the Lord spoke to me in service and said, sow that. And so I did, praise the Lord. And so then I went a long time without a ring again. And I was just desiring another. And then the Lord brought me another one, praise the Lord. And you know, something we could afford and all that stuff. But my point is that, see, God cares about the little things. He cares about little things. And sometimes we can be that for other people. Sometimes we will make the sacrifice and be that for other people, amen. I have so many examples of that in our life where God, you know, maybe you got a little birthday money or something and God leads you to go, to sow it into somebody or something, and God will bring it back. But that's it. He's teaching us not to be covetous, you know, and that is important to Him, that we trust Him for everything, that we put all of our eggs in His basket, so to speak. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Praise the Lord. A good father dotes on their kids. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So that's what this means when He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You aren't going without. You aren't gonna lose. You can't lose. God will make sure you have the things that you desire. Amen. That's what my goal in life is with my kids. I want to give them everything they desire. Praise the Lord. Not at the sake of not serving God. But anyways, let's go on. Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Boldly say it. The Lord is my helper. And so we see that we have that helper. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen. Now, we're getting close here. Romans 8:26. And I'm going to read through 28. And this is going to be, I want to read it to you in the Amplified because I want you to see something here. Praise the Lord. I want to, you know, it brought it out so well, I thought, today. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. And really, these scriptures are the ones that this sermon was birthed out of. Amen. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Isn't that awesome? This is what God does for us. The Holy Spirit, the one that's been placed on the inside of us, He comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Glory to God. Now look at this. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now what we understand about this scripture is this is talking about prayer in the Holy Spirit. Why do we pray in the Holy Spirit? We pray in the Holy Spirit in other tongues. We pray in other tongues because we don't always know what to pray for. You don't always know what you need. You don't always know what's going on. You don't always know how to help. Just like it was when I was praying about that, my hair cutter, praise the Lord, about earlier. It was the same thing. I was praying in the Spirit. I was praying in tongues. I'm thinking, why? Because I don't know what she needs. I don't know what, I just knew that there was a desire there to pray for her, but I didn't know what. So what am I going to pray for? If you just come to me and said, I need prayer, what am I going to pray for? Praise the Lord. So what do? I pray in the Spirit because I don't want to be nosy. Sometimes God will bring people to you like that. You pray in the Spirit and you pray something out and then he gives me the direction. He tells me exactly what needs to be said. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's what that is. But we understand that it also works in our own life as well. It's not just for other people. It's for the direction that he's taken us. And it goes on in verse 27, and he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. And so one of the most important things we see here is that the Holy Spirit is drawing that connection right between us and the Father. So even though we were estranged from him, even though that we weren't, have you seen God? Have you heard God's voice? Has he come down and given you direction? Not always, right? We don't always know what that place is. We don't always know what to do. But the Holy Spirit makes that intercession. He bridges that gap between us and prays in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Praise the Lord. In other words, when his commandments are reading the word and doing what the word says, praise the Lord. And also the things that the Holy Spirit directs us. And so as we commune with the Holy Spirit, as we commune with God, we get better and better at doing this. And things work out more and more. Amen? That's what I love about this knowledge of the things. See, I'm a dummy. I'm just telling you the truth. In my flesh, I'm a dummy. But God has given me this direction. He's given me this ability share these things, praise the Lord, to help us and take us higher into the things that he has for us. God has never left us nor forsaken us. He always leads us to triumph. He always brings us to that place where we're blessed. And so if we just learn to follow him and trust him, guys, we're going to get there. Praise the Lord. We're not just going to get there. It's not like, got here. Whew. No, it's like, woo, I got here, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Get in there and dance, hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here. Praise the Lord, it was good all the way in. Why? Because I was traveling with the Holy Spirit. I was traveling with God, glory to God. And he let me, and when I was going down the road, he took me into this, and he took me into that, and he showed me this, and showed me that. Praise the Lord, it was exciting, hallelujah. See, being a Christian don't have to be boring, hallelujah. Being a Christian should stir us up. Being a Christian should get us to that place where we understand, man, we are in direct communication, direct communion, direct fellowship with the creator of the entire universe. Glory to God. So everything you saw that you liked, he saw it first. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He's going to take you there. Yeah. That's what he wants to do. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't God good? Yeah. And see, you came in here didn't think you could trust him. Praise the Lord. You came here, I just don't know if I trust God. I just don't know if I can trust him today. Come on, Christian, why isn't that? We can trust him every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. That means if we jacked it up so bad yesterday, we just went to bed. Wake up and go, all right, God, you said your mercies were new every morning. I know I screwed up bad yesterday, but you said they're new every morning. I know I went to bed early, but I also woke up early, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I woke up into something new. See, God isn't trying to, he is not looking for ways to crush us. He is not looking for ways to put us down. He's looking for ways to get your butt out of it. Hallelujah. And your butt into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants your butt looking good. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to close here. First John 4:4. Praise God. Glory. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You tried to do it your way. You tried to work it your own way. You tried to get it your own time. You tried to make it happen. But the one that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And if you follow him, it'll work out. It always does. It always will. It's exciting when we get there, praise the Lord. It's exciting along the way. Serving God is not boring. Serving God is exciting. Praise God. And you came out to get part of it tonight. Praise the Lord. So we're just excited for all that God has for us. Amen. I know he's taking us into good things. I hope you're stirred as we leave here tonight. Glory to God. Because God loves us greatly. Amen.